First Lord's Day of the year, I don't know whether that means much to you, but I want to remind you, Bible says he's the beginning and he's the end. He's the beginning and he's the end. You know, I think it takes some time and grace for you to see that. He's the beginning and he's the end. He began your life, and he's going to end it in his schedule. Okay, 2022, we come before the Lord, and I pray that you would have a sincere listening ears. Can I hear amen if you desire to have a sincere listening ears? Would you say amen? Like, can you imagine you dealing with someone who's not sincerely listening to you, right? That would be very, very inappropriate, and I don't think you'll be interested, right? So may the Lord give you sincere listening ears. And the first message of 2022 is really a second part of three message series on idolatry. Okay, idolatry, part two. And the title of the message is, You Shall Be Clean from All Your Idols. And I was looking at this title, and what if leave maybe a couple of them behind? Two idols with you. You shall be clean all but two. That would be disastrous, wouldn't it? Right? Sort of like, you know, we're going to see this in the scripture. The relationship that God has with his people, Israelites, are portrayed in many different forms, but one is marriage. Okay, and the other is king and the people. Can you imagine you are a citizen of the United States and you are loyal to, let's say, a different country, enemy country? That would be disastrous, right? And imagine you're married to your spouse, your wife, your husband, and you leave behind a couple of, you know, relationship. That's disastrous, right? You know, this topic is so fascinating because we are all worshipers. And it's not a, you know, a boring, dry kind of worship. I gave this illustration and picture last Friday. It's like a fire hydrant in hot summer day, and someone comes and open up the fire hydrant and water gushes out. That's how you worship. And if you're not worshiping the Lord with that kind of intensity, you're probably worshiping something else with that kind of intensity. I know that's a indictment, right? Accusation, but that's what the scripture teaches. Your heart is not neutral. It's not. It never is. Because we are created with that kind of heart. Okay? We are created to seek and be satisfied with the love of God. And the kind of size and immensity of that is God-sized love and intensity. Now, the problem is that we turned our back against him. So your heart is seeking to fulfill that desire that only he could satisfy from something else, right? Which is so futile and vain, but that's the story of every human being. Every human being. What have you been thinking about this whole week, whole year? Money. Multiplying money. And it makes you anxious. And you get very, very upset, right? When money thing just bothers you. And, right? That's the story of human being. We talked about we are born in sin and we are under sin. This is a very important theological statement, gospel statement. You are born in sin. It's in your DNA. It's in your bones and it's in your blood. COVID is not the most dangerous virus. It isn't. sin is. Sin really will destroy everything, right? So you are born in sin and you are under sin. In other words, sin has dominion over you. You're a slave. That's why you are so anxious. That's why you cannot get rid of all these lifestyle of, you know, I hope not, but sexual sin in your life, because you're in dominion. The sin has mastery over you. And we rejected God, distrusted God, unbelief God, and disobedient to God. And we have turned our hearts to idols. So you seek approval of others, don't you? You want approval from your mom. You want approval from your peers. What is that? You seek that love that only he could satisfy from someone else, right? You seek security. That's why you want 401k, you want this, you want that. What is that? You want the provision, provision. Only he could provide from something else. You want the comfort, right? You want to be comfortable. What is that? You want the protection only he could protect, but you want from something else. And you want joy and satisfaction, but the story of human being is you will never find. That's why your heart is not resting right now. It's not resting, right? That's the condition of the heart, human condition, universal condition. And unless you're in Christ and he really set you free, you will be living like that and you will die like that. You're under sin, you're born in sin, you're under sin, and you will die in your sin. And you will stand before the holiness of God with that sin. Okay? That's the gospel story. Then we could talk about Christ and the gospel. So that's the human condition. Incessantly seek, search, thirst after the satisfaction that your soul is longing for, but you will never find it. You're wallowing in sin. You are wallowing in idols in your life. You are not neutral. If you are not gushing out love and affection and trust toward God, that's what you're doing towards something else. Whether it is your spouse, whether it is your career, whether it is money, whether it is, I don't know, like all these illicit relationships. So that is an introduction. Idolatry. We want to look at the, could you look at the word idolatry? What's in that word? Idol. What's an idol? It's an image or created thing or person that you treat as God of your life. Okay, that's what an idol is. It's not just BTS, right? It's idol is something you carved image or thing or created thing or person that you treat it as God. That's you trust and you obey and your heart is just poured onto. Okay. Today I want to look at the book of Ezekiel. I don't know whether you see that sign once you try to park in our parking lot. There is that verse from Ezekiel 36 verse 26. I will give you a new heart. That's the gospel, people. Gospel is not changing your behavior. Well, let me have a self-control so I don't drink. That's not gospel. That's religion. You will never be able to do that. Gospel is dealing with your core at the heart. That's what the gospel is. God called Ezekiel, it's a 48 chapter book, divided into two sections. First half up to chapter 32, and 33 through 48 is the latter half. So only two parts. And in the beginning, in chapter 1, God calls Ezekiel, who was in Babylon, in exile, because Israelites were sent into captivity because of idolatry. It was the judgment of God. The first half of the book, in chapter 1 through chapter 32, the theme is the judgment of God. Oh, I don't like that word. That's what the Bible is about, people. Okay? Judgment of God is a reality that you will never be able to ignore. So God called Israel to confront. God called this priest named Ezekiel when he was about 30 years old. And I was thinking about who's 30 years old in our congregation. And there are a few of them, right? God calls Ezekiel, who was in Babylon, in captivity, probably a refugee camp, if you will. And Babylon was the biggest nation of that time. And they were in the capital city, so probably like something like New York. So you could picture that, right? He was in New York, and God called Ezekiel to confront Israelites who are in captivity in Babylon, primarily because of the idolatry. God hates idolatry. Do you know, Ten Commandments is the law. And the law is not a bad thing. As I explained Friday, law reveals his nature. Right? Law is a good thing. Thou shalt not have no other God before me. Honor your mother and father. How many of you think that's a good thing? Could you say amen? Honor your mother and father. Amen. It's a great thing. That's God's nature. Thou shalt not kill. That's a good thing, right? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not, you know, commit adultery. These are the nature of God. But on the very first on the list that flows out of his nature is, thou shalt not have no other God before me. Right? In other words, idolatry was the quintessential cause of Babylonian exile, which was the judgment. I shared with you, there's only two ways idolatry in your life could be displaced. One is judgment of God. The other is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you live as an idolatrous person. Incessantly. Okay? No exception. That's the scriptural description. And the Israelites in the book of Ezekiel, they committed adultery, which God abhors. And three different places. In chapter 6, they worship idols in high places. Okay, high places on the mountains. They set up this temple for idols. And secondly, in chapter 8, they commit adultery in the temple. Can you believe that? You could worship idol right here, right now. You may not be worshiping God. I want this. Okay? And thirdly, in chapter 14, Ezekiel reveals that Israelites worship idols in their heart. In their heart. Of all the sins God condemns and people commit, idolatry is the root sin of all sins. It's the sin that could explain everything you do. Your sexual sin stems from idolatry. Your greed and covetousness stems from idolatry. Your bitter, angry heart, and you retain it for years, stems from idolatry. We kind of talked about this last Friday. As we finish 1 year and we begin a new year, are you living in idolatry, people? Or are you truly free, worshiping the Lord? It's one or the other. You may be living an idolatrous life. Let me explain the key verse in Ezekiel, which is what idolatry is. And this simple verse explains what idolatry is very, very simply and clearly. This is God speaking to Israelites. Because they have rejected my rules, God's rules. Or you could replace that as, because they rejected me, rejected God, for their heart went after their idols. Could you look at that simple statement, but this is exactly what idolatry is. Maybe you're living with right now. What it is this. They rejected God. And their heart, the core of their being, turned toward idols. Success. Graduate school. Money. Why do you want to go to a good graduate school? So that you'll be successful. It's all money. And Jesus knew that. You cannot serve two gods, God and money. Don't take this lightly, people. Don't take this lightly. Because you could be in the temple and totally worshiping idol. Totally worshiping idol. Right? So this explains, this is the key verse, key statement. And even at the time of their magnificent deliverance from Egypt, in chapter 20, it says, you know, Israelites, none of them cast away their detestable things, idols, and their eyes were feast on this idols of Egypt. In other words, God was delivering them, but the Israelites were bringing the idols that they used to have in Egypt and coming out with it. Just as we move into the new year, you may be living with the idols. Continue to drag the idols in your life. Right? So, idolatry continued throughout history from Exodus all the way to exile and throughout history of mankind. We cannot help but to be idolatrous. Sin by nature is idolatrous. By nature is idolatrous. Okay? Change in circumstance do not change an idolatrous nature, because it is in the heart. It's the heart issue. You have a heart issue. Only God could resolve that. Okay? This powerful inclination of our heart, sin nature heart for idolatry, is seated in the heart. Really is, people. Let's go over Book of Ezekiel, like short overview. I already told you, divided into two sections, up to 32. It's about judgment of God. Chapter 33 through 48 is the gospel of Ezekiel. Bad news, good news. Christianity is always like that. People just want to hear the good news. But it always comes with bad news, diagnosis, sickness, so that you will have healing. Okay? So first half is the bad news, the judgment of God. Ezekiel's message to the exile Israelites who are in refugee camp. Can you imagine that? Your country was ruined and your temple was destroyed. Your king was humiliated and they were taken as captive to Babylon, like a powerful nation. Have you ever seen a movie? They just kind of, you know, chained and follow as slaves. That's exactly what happened to Israelites. Okay? And he is speaking to them about the judgment of Judah, particularly for their heart of idolatry. And he does that with the two dramatic pictures. Could you listen to this? This is really good. If you read Ezekiel, a little bit hard reading, but if you know the structure and the theme, it is much easier to read. Two dramatic pictures. One is, basically, God says, time's up, and God is departing. Actually, God, Spirit of God, departs from his from the temple in Book of Ezekiel. Can you imagine God departs from this congregation? What do we bother to gather then? God actually departs. Spirit of God departs. It's in chapter 4 through 11. Pretty amazing. Chapter 11, if you read it. Second, the depiction or the picture is even more graphic. God is basically describing idolatry as an adultery of Israelites, and the apostasy and idolatry with a graphic picture of a woman spreading her legs to the people who's passing by. Literally in the Bible. A woman spreading her legs to the people passing by. That's what idolatry is. That's how God sees idolatry is. That's what the idolatrous heart is. Woman spreading her legs to anybody who passes by. So through Ezekiel, presented a series of judgment comes on the nation of Israel and the neighbor nations and the whole world. Basically, the message is judgment extends to all and no one is exempt, and you are not exempt either, and I'm not exempt. That's the scriptural teaching. No one is exempt because you are all idolatrous people. I am idolatrous people. All stands as sinners before God, and the judgment centers on two cities. One, Tyre, which is in Syria, which was the economic power of that of the world at the time. And the other one is Egypt, which is the political power and the most powerful nation of that time. And I was thinking, wow, that sounds like New York. One is the economic center, and that's the center of judgment. And the other one is Egypt, which is the most powerful nation in the world. And that sounds like United States of America. And we're living in that city. And the judgment was centered around Tyre and Egypt. And the central issue of the judgment was the pride and idolatry. They go hand in hand. You know why you and I are so idolatrous at the core? Because we are proud. We replace God with our self-exaltation. Right? That's the first half. That's it. That's the first half. Second half of Book of Ezekiel is completely different message. To that Israelites, okay, to that kind of Israelites who are in the judgment of God because their heart was like incessantly idolatrous, which pictures you and I and all human being, the message of hope and the gospel Ezekiel unfolds. You have to see the gospel in that light. Otherwise, gospel is not precious to you, right? First, there was the promise of salvation, like forever, through the coming of Messiah, eschatological, eternal salvation, and with a vision of three things: new temple, and new worship, and new land. Are you worshiping with a new heart? Can I just ask you? Would you say amen if you are worshiping with a new heart that's led by the Spirit? Would you say amen? Only those who have truly regenerated by the Spirit. Otherwise, you need to come to that point. Okay? So Book of Ezekiel kind of closes with, for this apparent abandonment, God's Spirit leaves, abandon Israelites, and God promises that he's going to return. The Messiah will return. And after confrontation and judgment, God promises remain, and at the end, grace of God reigns, and that's the gospel, and that's Christianity. Okay? For most of history, if you read Kings and Chronicles, kings of Judah and people had been dominated by idolatry. Now think with me, people, why that's in the Bible. Okay? And they continue to go after real and ruining idols. What are some of them? Power. They always want to relate it to Egypt or Babylon and power. Not the Lord, but always different nations. Secondly, pride. Pride. They pride in their horses and their savings and their degrees. Thirdly, selfishness. Extremely selfish, so they don't look out after poor and needy. It's always about your gain. Always about profit. And greed. And I was looking at this list and I'm like, wow, this is no different right now. We want to be powerful and we want to be self-sufficient and we want to be, it's all about me, right? My savings and my gaining. And my greed. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 says, their heart is set on their gain. That's idolatrous heart. That's idolatrous heart. Okay? Chapter 8 through 11, the root issue of idolatry comes to focus and the first climax, and we see the departure of God. God just departs from Israelites. You know, I was thinking about immigrants. I'm talking about your parents and some of your immigrants. Some of you are born in this country. When people gathered came to the United States, just like the Israelites in Babylon, they worship God. They really want to worship God, but what they wanted was comfort without giving their heart to the sovereign God. So many people gather. That's why after 20 years, half of the people who used to go to church don't go to church anymore. And that may be the story of your parents and your relatives. They don't. So just like the Israelites in exile, you know, they were under the judgment of God. So they gather around Ezekiel, listening to the word of God. But what they were seeking was comfort. Comfort. You understand me? I understand you. So let's gather at church. But their heart never really desired to give in to the Lord. Can I just ask you, brothers and sisters, is your heart given to the Lord? Is your heart given to the Lord? Seriously. We want comfort, but we really don't desire to give our hearts to the Lord. Okay? You know what that is? Idolatrous heart. Half-hearted piety and religious life. An amazing teaching of the book of Ezekiel is that's a template for full of idolatry. Half-hearted devotion is a template for idolatry. If you seek after two things, God and money, you will never follow Christ. I could say this from the teaching of Ezekiel and from what I have seen in the last 30 years. Invariably, people walk away from Christ. Absolutely true, people. Is your heart seeking after two things? God and the world, you will walk away. Absolutely, you're going to walk away. Can you imagine? You're married, I already explained to you, two imageries that kind of depicts the relationship between God and Israelites is marriage. One is marriage, one is kingdom, right? So can you imagine you're married to your wife, and yet you have two girlfriends you could never let go. And you continue to pour your love upon her or him. It's the most humiliating thing you could do to your spouse. That's what idolatry is. The difference is, it's not our spouse, but it's our God. That's why in the Old Testament, idolatry is always pictured as adultery. Sexual sin, that's why, is the manifestation of idolatry. That's exactly what it is. Basically, what Ezekiel is showing is that we human beings have no chance. We are hopeless people. That's what we need to see. We're hopeless people. If you see that, would you say amen? I'm kind of like making you depressed on first Sunday. But if you see the hopelessness of human being, would you say amen? That's when you could see Christ, people. Then and only then you could see Christ as a Savior and Lord. And that's exactly what Ezekiel Gospel is about. And kind of like a preview, it's in chapter 11. What we have in our church is chapter 36, and there's that picture. It was funny, 12 years ago, I really didn't know what to do with my life when I sold my practice and I left my, one church that I went to. And all the plans that I wanted to do, apply for this church and that church and whatnot, everything just stopped. So I was just home, not knowing what to do, and I opened the scripture, and that's what He has shown me. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, essentially the same thing. I will give you a new heart. It's not a fixed heart, but it is a new heart, new affection, new goal in life. That's what Christianity is, okay? It's in chapter 11, kind of like the preview. Let me read it to you, and you're going to hear it. And it sounds very much like 36. I will give them a one heart, not divided heart, but one heart, and new spirit will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. It's going to be soft. It's going to be tender, right? And that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules. Instead of walking away from my statutes, you're going to come back and you would want to obey. Okay? Amazing promise. And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. Basically saying, they'll be my spouse, and I'll be their husband. Ancient Near East way of saying, that's my wife, and I'm her husband. Do you see that? That new covenant relationship? And all of this is kind of like, is fulfilled in Jesus. Fulfilled in Jesus. Promised hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago. But Christianity is about a new heart. New heart. As I shared, Israelites during the exile in Babylon, people were outwardly practicing religion. They've been going to church all their lives, just as you have and so many people have. But their hearts are elsewhere. You want the world. Their geographical location had been forcibly changed, but their deep disposition never changed. You are idolatrous. That's God's indictment of his people. If your heart has been changed, look at me, please, people. Is your heart has been changed? Is your heart set on God and God alone? That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, so they were asking, I want comfort, I want comfort, I want comfort. And God answers in chapter 14. I'm going to answer you, Israelites, but I'm going to answer you not the way you want. I'm going to answer you with my judgment upon you. God's going to do that because he cares about his people. If he doesn't deal with you, that means you have been abandoned. You're illegitimate children. Hebrews chapter 12. God's going to deal with his children if you continue to live an idolatrous life. Okay? That's the first half. And here comes the gospel of Ezekiel. Okay. I'll give you a new heart. That's the people that he's saying, I'll give you a new heart. How many of you need a new heart in your life? Would you say amen? Would you say amen? Do you want to continue to live in sexual sin? So many people. I've been living in sexual sin for 20 years. You didn't live that long. Struggling with sexual sin for 20 years. And I'm so greedy. You know, do you realize sexual sin and idolatry go right next to each other? We talked about this on Friday. They're like neighbors. There's a good chance if you're living in sin and sexually, you are idolatrous and you are probably greedy. There's no question about that. And self-centered. That's what the scriptural indictment is. Right? God's message does not stop there, and God's final answer is not just the judgment, but he finally calling his people to repent. That's what repentance is. And that's the grace of God. Repent. If you would turn and turn away from all these idols and abominations, turn to me and you will live. That's what the gospel is, people. You need to turn. He's not begging you to turn. You need to be begging. You and I need to be in begging position to live. Do you realize that? How many of you see that? Would you say amen? We need to repent. We need to beg for repentance. You know, we're not willing to give his lordship. Give him lordship. That's why we are idolatrous, half-hearted. Again, I want to ask you, you're half religious. What's the other half? Full of idols. Full of idols. I saw this pretty recently, graphically. Nobody walks around the other half in vacuum. It's always full of idols. Okay? That's why half-heartedness is dangerous. So dangerous. Because your heart gets hardened harder and harder and harder. And eventually, unless you repent, you're going to have to walk away. And so many people walk away. When someone wants to embrace both, it is invariably leads to whole scale of apostasy. You're going to walk away. Okay? Brothers and sisters, 2022, may you repent. Turn away from your sin. Don't let your illicit sexual relationship make you turn away. That wasn't recorded. Maybe it was not meant to be recorded, just for you to listen. Thank you, Lord. Don't walk away from the Lord from your sexual illicit relationship. Don't, people. I've seen so many. People become deaf when they are sexually sinning because it's idolatrous heart. They're rejecting God and following after their idols. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "You cannot serve two lords." Let's make that clear. You love one and hate the other. You serve one and you despise the other. If you love the world and money, you hate God. You hate God. You despise God. You're not like, kind of like in the middle. You hate and despise God. That's the word of the Lord. John Calvin, 16th century reformer, says, man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols. If you quit gambling, you're going to go into sexual immorality. If you quit sexual immorality, you're going to go into stealing. And you're going to become greedy. It's a perpetual factory of idols. Meaning, it's not just modifying your behavior. It's not going to change your life. Your heart needs to be replaced. That's Christianity. Okay? And then today's text, I'm just going to read it to you, and I hope you see the gospel, what God is speaking to his people. And may this be the truth in your life. Okay? I will take you from the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to my land. It's God. Everything is God if you look at it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you from the nations. I'm going to gather you. I'm going to bring you back home. Right? Gospel is all God's work. And I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. He's going to give you bath. Because you're filthy, people. We are filthy. He's going to give you bath. He's going to cleanse you. And you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. And I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. It's not you're changing a little bit like that. It's a brand new heart. Heart transplant, if you will. Heart transplant. And new spirit I'm going to put within you. Sounds like the gospel that Jesus taught. It absolutely is, actually. It's not modification of your behavior. It's your affection and your desire and your inclination changes, which is only possible divinely. And I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, which means your heart will become tender. Your heart will be tender, not guilty all the time. You know, sin, guilty will make you, it's going to make your heart hard. You don't like that, right? Guilty heart. And I'm going to put my spirit, Holy Spirit, within you. That sounds like Christianity and the gospel Jesus taught. How was Mary able to give birth as a virgin, as a 14-year-old? Holy Spirit came upon her. She's the first prototype of a person who had Christ in me, Spirit of God in me. And that's what the gospel is. Do you have Christ in you? Do you have Spirit of God in you? Right? My Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now that not only, you know, you used to, I don't want to obey and I can't obey, now you desire to obey. You want to honor your mother and father. You don't want to commit adultery. You don't want to be greedy. That's the new heart and new affection that gospel gives. Verse 28, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, the promised land, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And that's the gospel according to Ezekiel. And that's where we got the name New Heart. Okay? God speaks three images of the future hope. One is cleansing by water. Has God cleansed you? What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not your behavior. It's not your effort. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the power and effectual power of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses my heart deep within. Okay, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And your desire for the idols will subside. You know, I don't know. You can say amen if you agree with me. The things that I used to consider so important, it's not that important to me anymore. Things that I treasure so much and I wanted to gain, I don't care for it anymore. Does anybody feel like that? Could you say amen? I know there are people like that. I know that's Christianity. Right? Second image is new heart. New heart. It's not from K-drama, but it's from the Lord, from Ezekiel. A heart transplant, exchange and replacement of a new heart, a picture of a new creation. Those of you who feel filthy and dirty because of the life that you lived. Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and new has come. That's what Christianity is. New heart. And third image is the new spirit. And that's the Spirit of God within you. That's an amazing statement. In Ezekiel, Spirit of God left the temple. Abandoned Israelites. There is no more clear depiction of God's judgment and departure. He left the temple. Now that Spirit of God is within you. You are the temple. That's the Christian gospel, people. And summing up everything, you know, I'm going to bring you back to my land, and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. If you read Revelations, which is the last book of the Bible, you're going to see that promise. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. That's what salvation is. Okay? John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to say this one more time, if you could just look at me. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not. What is water? We know Spirit is Spirit of God. So what is water? There are different theories, but I believe the water represents the Word of God and the Gospel. How can, you know, Jesus said, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remember that? Ephesians, same thing, Ephesians 5. Word of God cleanses you. Is Word of God and the Gospel important to you? Can I just ask you? Or are you just kind of, whatever? Do you see the difference? Is the word of God important to you? That's like the lifeline. That's a sign. That's a sign, people. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Idolatrous people will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He needs to cleanse you. Okay. Let me close. I realized maybe it was a dense topic on first Sunday of the year. You look dense then. But not really. Not really. Because I think this is the first step, actually. I really believe this is the first step. The desire for the idol in us is incessant. We always want things and created things and person to satisfy me. We do. It is ingrained deep, so deep within us, within our soul and within our DNA, bones and blood. And that's a slavery. That's why you're living like a slave. There's no joy. You feel like, you know, I have to do it. Otherwise, you feel guilty. And, you know, it's a slavery. Dominated by the mastery of sin nature and Satan, basically. Satan. Okay? And he doesn't love you. He's going to use you and he's going to abuse you. And when you give up and when you die, he's going to throw you away. That's what Satan will do. And we are still seeking satisfaction from there. A cistern that does not produce any water. However, God promised today, 700 years ago, hundreds of years ago, I am going to cleanse all your idols. I'm going to cleanse all your idols. I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to give you a new spirit. And I'm going to give my spirit within you. I am going to be in you. That's the promise. That's the gospel. And which we know it is fulfilled in Christ Jesus on Calvary. Okay? That, you know, deep desire for ever searching, ever seeking, ever hungry, idolatrous heart, and the chain has been broken. Completely broken forever by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. That's the gospel. If you are there, would you be able to say amen? That has been broken, people. I don't desire that. I don't. It's been so long. Do I want to just make a lot of money? Stay in dentistry. Work 7 days a week. No, I have no desire for that. No way, not even close, people. People's recognition? Nah, I'm smarter than that, wiser than that by the grace of God. It's His recognition that matters. I don't preach as you see to please your ears. This is not the kind of message you want to deliver on first Sunday of the year. Judgment of God. And the chain has been broken, people. Has chain been broken in your life? Are you in slavery? You know, Israelites were in Babylon. So they were in judgment of God. So they were listening to God. And they were religious like you and I are. But their heart really don't want to surrender to Him. All you want is comfort. That's Israelites. Somehow I see a close correlation between that and us. And today He speaks to you, people. I'm gonna cleanse your heart from all the idols. And I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to give you a new spirit. And I'm going to put my spirit within you. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Let's pray.